Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than all his world's attire, more than anything in this life, I've got to make it. Take my possessions, great and small, friends and family, you can take them all. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child, you won. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. What good is all I've come to know? I'll gain this world but lose my soul. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the pace, then I'll see his blessed face. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child, you won. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. What good is all I've come to know? I'll gain this world but lose my soul. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the pace, then I'll see his blessed face. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child, you won. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life, I've got
to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child, you won. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it.
Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight, there's a race to be won. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight, there's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a haven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight, there's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. Not too many people that want to talk about that hell. A lot of people don't believe in a hell. My uncle, he didn't believe in a hell. And then his daughter died. And she told him about 2-3 weeks before she passed, Dad, you kept telling us there's no hell. Well, that's a lie. There is a hell. I saw it. I guess she saw hell before she died. And I thought to myself, what a wake-up call. She would be telling all her life that there is no hell, and here she sees hell. That's when you pass from this world into the other, you don't have the Lord. That's exactly where you're going. Jesus paid a hefty price for us so we don't have to go to hell. That's why he came down here, paved the way, so we don't have to go to that horrible place called hell. And the only sin you and I can commit, or anybody can commit, is to reject Jesus Christ. If you reject Jesus, there's only one destiny for people to go, and that's to hell. That's why he can't save us from that place. And, that's what we like, try to make it as plain as we can to the people that there is an escape route that they can take so they don't have to go to that horrible place. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to take up for a moment in time, Lord, take time out to look into your word, Lord, See what you have for us to do, Lord, and say. We just want to give you thanks for another day of life, for another night of protection, Lord. All the horrors in this world, Lord, with illegal immigration and everything that's in this country, Lord, that was founded on a Christian principle, and here society and the Democrats and Satan has tried to destroy the very work that you've started up back in when the founders raised up this country, and you sent them a George Washington vision, what your plans are for this country. And Satan, he tries to stop everything that God does that you're doing, Lord, and we just pray you'll help us to express the things you put on our heart. Help us to draw the picture of what's going on around us in the day and hour that we're now living in. We give you thanks that you've allowed us to see the end time approaching rapidly, and give us a crystal clear picture of what's going on around us. Lord, we pray your gift that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, there's a movement out now. There's no hell. There's no judgment. There's no. We just exist. We just, when we die, we just be like the animal. We just burn up and that's it. We just die and that's it.
I knew a guy in Brandon. He didn't believe in anything. I said, what are you going to do when you get to that place, when you pass away, and you realize that there is a heaven and a hell? Well, then I'll have a surprise.
Yeah,
that's how nonchalant people can get.
But then we know there's a hell, and we know that's why Jesus came to keep us out of that place. And like I say, the only sin that you and I can commit, or anybody else, is to reject when Jesus wants to come and help us. He wants to come and help us so we can stay out of that place, so we can accept him, and then we don't have to go to that place called hell, because the Bible says, he that believes on the Son has eternal life, and he that does not believe in the Son shall not see life. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did, what he came to do to save us from that horrible place. And we've been saying it over and over again. You and I, we have the full counsel of God. We know exactly what's been happening. There are so many perverted versions. Some say there is no hell, and then some say the hell is eternal. It'll be forever and ever and ever ending, but hell is not eternal. Hell has an end. It's just a space of time. After the millennium, that's 1,000 years until they hit that great white throne judgment that happens at the end of the millennium, when all these wicked souls that are in the ground today, they all get resurrected and they all stand before the great white throne judgment, where God metes out their penalty, their sentence, how many years, how much heat, how much their judgment will be over in that lake of fire. That's all hell and death will, after the millennium, hell and death are being cast into the lake of fire, and there it's exactly what the Bible says, you're going to be meted out your penalty. Like when you do something here, it's all an example. When a wicked person gets caught and he goes out and murders people, he gets to court, and what they do, what the judge does, some of them, he gives them if it's meditated murder, he just goes and he gives them the electric chairs on some states. Mm-hmm. And if not, he gets life imprisonment. There's a sentence meted out, depends how wicked you are. If you steal something, you get a certain amount of a penalty. And that's exactly what that great white throne judgment is for. A lot of people, they think you just get thrown into hell and that's it. No, you go to hell for 1,000 years until after the millennium. And then, once the millennium is over, like I say, there's that great white throne judgment, and you are, the books were open. It says, the books were open, and then books is the things that you did while you were here on earth. If you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be judged at the end of the millennium, and you'll stand before that great white throne judgment, and like I say, your sentence will be meted out to you, simply because we rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And just that simple. And then there's people that say that hell is eternal. No, because the Bible says, fear not him that kills the body, but fear him that has the power to destroy the body and the soul in hell. And destruction in order for it to be destroyed, it cannot be eternal. Because if it was eternal, it could not be destroyed. It's only however the Lord and the God of heaven on that great white throne judgment, the kind of penalty that he's going to mete out to you. There may be some that'll be 10 years, maybe a million years. I don't know how long, but probably, obviously Satan is going to be in that lake of fire for a long time. And then once that penalty has been severed, once that penalty for that individual has been completed, then that spirit, because we all have a spirit, even Satan has a spirit, that spirit, once it's purified, once all the draws and all the filth and everything has been purified, then that spirit goes back to God who gave it. And might, for some people, it'll take longer. For some people, there'll be more heat, but they'll end up in that lake of fire until that body and that soul is going to be destroyed, and that body and that soul is going to be destroyed, and then that spirit, exactly what the Bible says, the spirit goes back to God who gave it.
Like anything in life, like everything spiritually has a natural you can look at it in the natural. You can find it in the natural. The spiritual you can find in the natural. Like just like you have, like when you take out your trash every week, and the trash and the garbage comes and takes it away. See, that's the same concept. Is the wicked are really trash.
Garbage.
They've never done anything for God. They've never acknowledged him and seek to do what he wants you to do. He sent a Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's life. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have life and you'll have it more abundantly. See, these all come together. You can see it in the natural. If the things are worthless, you just throw them away and they get burned up. That's in the spiritual too. If a person never does anything, he will end up being destroyed.
Yeah, just that simple, like you were saying. It's just like garbage. There's people out there now, like even Trump said, these people, these wicked people, these criminals, these drugs, they're not worth spending time to rehab. They're beyond rehabilitation, and they might as well just be annihilated. And we're coming exactly, the time has arrived now where there's no more time to rehab anything, because Jesus Christ is not on the seat of mercy. He is not the high priest anymore. He is not on the seat of mercy. He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And like we said yesterday, it's not going to go into river. It's going to go exactly into that separation of the goats and the sheep, and people determine where are they going to spend eternity. If they're just wicked, and like the sheep and the goat, if they haven't done nothing productive, nothing good, nothing decent, and they're just completely rotten to the core, they're just out here to kill, steal, and destroy, well, they're going to go direct into the lake of fire. They're not even going to go into hell. Because they're not going to wait for thousands, because they go right into that lake of fire, because it says in Matthew 20:24 that go into that everlasting fire. That everlasting fire is that lake of fire. The fire is eternal. And the only place in our universe that there is eternal fire is the sun. When Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed by eternal fire. The only place, like I say, I used to think it was a volcano that destroyed Sodom. No, it was a sun flare. The Lord just took some that fire from the sun, because, like I say, the only thing that's eternal in our universe is the sun. And that sun took a flare, and it went straight direct from the sun, direct down to Sodom, and they destroyed that Sodom with fire and brimstone. We were there. We saw that place where Sodom was, and it's right. And as an example to this day, and see, that's how God does things. I told those charity people that hell is not eternal, and then they quoted me that scripture about Sodom being burned with eternal fire. Yeah, the fire is eternal, but the subjects in that fire are not going to be there throughout eternity. Mm-hmm. It's just like when you throw a log of wood in the fire. Eventually, mm-hmm. that log of wood burns off, but the fire just keeps on burning.
And the ashes just go back to the earth.
Yeah.
Just like everything. Everything goes will go back to the earth, and the spirit leaves it and just, goes back to God.
Yeah. Just like mm-hmm. when that wood is burned off, that ashes types kind of like the spirit, mm-hmm. eh? It's like once that they're just ashes, well, it's just when the soul and the body is destroyed. And for some people, it might take millions of years. But for some, it won't be as much. Because the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good, he that doesn't know, he will suffer the stripes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he that knoweth and doesn't do it, he'll get the double dose. Like, let's say you're 20 years in the lake of fire. Instead of being in there 20 years, you'll be in there 40 years, like a double dose.
Yeah, all depends on the wickedness of the person.
Yeah.
It takes longer for some things to be purified because of the content of wickedness. It's like Lucifer. He has a lot of wickedness. He is the wicked one. And he will have to endure a longer process of being purified for that spirit to go back to God that he has.
That's why he's put in so much fury.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time he called, the Bible says, Satan is coming down having great wrath because he knows his time is short. He knows his doom is sealed. He's only got 3 more years to do his thing, and then he goes into hell, and then he lets loose to go out to deceive the people that were born in the millennium, because everything that goes into the eternal age has to be tested, and there's going to be mortals like the she people, the 144,000, and the woman of Revelation. They're mortals. They have eternal life because they have to have the sun and the environment to live throughout eternity. But then the people, the children that's born in the millennium, is going to be thousands of years where a lot of people are going to be born. Then Satan is let loose from hell, and he comes back, and he goes out and deceives the multitudes of the nations, the people that have not been tested yet. And then when he tests them, and then he gets, I don't know how long he'll have time to deceive the people, but apparently he gets a lot on his side to deceive them. And then all these people that side with Satan, then they all get thrown in that lake of fire. And that's Satan's doom and gloom. And all the people that side with him. That's what we're going through here and now in time. You see all these corruptions, all these illegal immigrations, all this stuff that's going on out around us. It's just people determined where they're going to spend eternity. They make up their mind. None of them don't even know it, because when God comes back and separates the goats and the sheep, they say, Lord, where did we see you? Well, it's going on right now. That's what's happening. That's why they say, well, we didn't even see. We didn't even know. The good and the bad. The bad had the same thing. Lord, where did we see you? Well, like I say, it's going on right now, right this very minute, with all this corruption, supporting the Democrats, supporting Hamas, these people around there marching in support of these terrorists. They're just paving their way into that lake of fire. They're making the decision themselves, and that when that time comes, God will just open their conscience, and they'll know exactly what they're about. And they'll say, well, when did we see you? Well, what you done to the least of these, what you done out there, you done it to me. And then they go into that, they go direct into that lake of fire. They don't even bother going to hell. Mm-hmm. Because the beast and the false prophet, they get direct thrown into the lake of fire. And Satan, he goes to hell because God still needs Satan. Satan is down here because God needs him to test us. We're being tested on a day-to-day basis to see if we're going to be found worthy. So there's got to be something to test us, to oppose us, and to harass us every day. And we just, by faith, we just overcome it. We see him coming. That's why we get so harassed. That's why we get attacked from all these people that come through here. And the minute they, like I said the other day, the minute they get freed of, the first thing the devil does, he uses them to try to attack us, to try to smear us, to to make us into something that we're not. We're just here about the Lord's business. And like I say, when they come through here and they go out there in the freeway, and they just hate way to slander us, to lie up stuff about us, to make us irrelevant. But that's all part of the trick. And we have the capacity to overcome that, to ignore it. And we just, because we walk by faith, if people want to allow themselves to be lied to, intimidated, well, that's their problem.
Well, you have to see the spirit behind it. It says in John 8, verse 39, the Jews, they were saying that Abraham is our father. And Jesus replied, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the deeds of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. I heard from God, Abraham did not do this. They're trying to kill him because he was telling them the truth. You people are doing the deeds of your father. Which father? He's talking about the father, the devil. Then they said to Jesus, we were not born as a result of immorality. We have only one father, God himself. Jesus replied, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come from God and am now here. I have not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot accept accept my teaching. You people are from your father the devil, and you want to do what your father desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not uphold the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I am telling you the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can prove me guilty of any sin if I am telling you the truth? Why don't you believe me? The one who belongs to God listens and responds to God's word. You don't listen and respond because you don't belong to God. See, that's the difference, because that's why there's wicked people, because they really don't belong to God.
And here in this end time, when we talk about these thugs and these pulpits, we're not talking about that individual. We're talking about the spirit that's behind them, that has overtaken them by means of deception, by religious deception. That's all it is. When I talk about John Hagin and these Hutterite preachers, I'm not talking about that individual. That individual, he might be a pretty good guy, but behind it is the spirit of Satan that has deceived them, like Jesus said, blind leading the blind. And they're not of God because they don't hear. What do they do when they hear us? Throw the books out. They do everything they can to avoid us, to shun us, everything, because we're telling them the truth. But it's the spirit behind these people that cannot handle the truth. That's why they're doing all, using all these means, all the weaponry that they have to try to demoralize. Because, like I said, when I got terminated from that Hutterite system, behind it, I saw the spirit behind it. If you ever see that spirit behind what's driving these preachers, I couldn't eat and sleep for days because it affected me so much when I saw that demonic, that diabolical spirit that driving that whole Hutterite system is the spirit behind. And like I say, when we talk about the people, we mentioned Anthony Leonard, but behind that Leonard is a religious spirit. And behind that Joe Phillips type, there's all religious spirit that driving the people to the point they're so deceived and so deluded that they think they're actually doing God a service because they're deceived. The deceiver has taken them over, and now they just use religion. They use their tradition and their religion. That's all they have. They have nothing spiritual. If you take these sermons away from them to go out and do what we're doing, we don't even have a script here. We're just today talking about the thing the Lord put us on our hearts to say, and we're telling people the truth. Like I was watching that John Hagin the other day, I thought he's just speaking from his heart, but here he had a script before him, and then he paged two pages too far, and he lost his train of thought, and then I found out he's just reading out of a script. And here all along, I thought he's just preaching what the Lord put on his heart, was inspired to do. No, these scripts and these things that they preach, they're set up by Satan behind the scenes, and they give them the thing what you should preach on, and it's all based on deception, because behind it is the spirit of deception. People don't realize that these preachers out there, they're inspired by Satan to deceive, if it would be possible, even the very elect. That's the hour and day that we're now living in, because Jesus was asked, what's going to be signed? What's going to be the sign of the end time? And the first thing Jesus said, beware lest any man deceive you, because the deception will be of such magnitude that the whole world is now caved in a valley and a fog and a mist of pure deception. All that's out there is deception and speak. The devil uses the people in the pulpit to deceive, even if possible, the very elect. You can see it right in front of our eyes. That's why we're speaking about this judgment, this hell that's coming, and things of that nature, to open the eyes of the people, because they don't even know it themselves, because blind leading the blind. They think they're doing God a service.
And people don't like it when we call these people out, like John Hagee. When you go up to the pulpit and you have that position of a pastor, and you don't present your body a living sacrifice, you're not lining up with the scripture. You're not lining up with the word of God, because it says to present your body, and it tells you that you're not crucifying the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You're not mortifying the flesh, because you are you're a lot too much overweight, and that proves that you're not lining up with the scripture, because it's just not acceptable having a big, heavy guy up there in the pulpit and preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not nice to see.
It's contradicting yourself. Mm-hmm. You're a hypocrite. It's all it is. Why is the Lord dealing with us? Why is the Lord dealing with me for the last 15 years to lose weight? Right now, He's got us on a fast for what is it, day 12 now, because I got to lose 25 pounds, and I'm not setting a good example. He wants you and I to set an example for, not just talk about it, but you got to do it, and that's one of the hardest things that for me, because my genes, you know, the growth gene and the over genes, they're a lot of them are gluttons, and we have to set the standard and an example.
And it makes you a hypocrite.
Yeah.
That's what it really makes you, is a hypocrite, because if you are not sincere in what the Bible tells you to do, and you go outside of that, then it makes you a hypocrite.
Amen to that, and that's why we put so much effort in right now. Day 12, we want to head for day 40. I used to be able to fast and like nothing for 40 days, and but now I can't do it anymore. I get weak after about 2 weeks. I can only fast for 2 weeks, and I have to have a little bit of a meal, and then I'm off for another 2 weeks fasting, and then I'll have to do it till I'm down to where the Lord wants me, 157 pounds. And right now I think I'm 190, so I got to lose another 30, 40 pounds. And it's not easy. That's the battle that we're in. We're not going to say we don't have any battles. We do have battles. And it's just a responsibility of every individual. Because if the Lord uses us to set a standard, we have to, we can't be a hypocrite, be way overweight. Everybody that knows me knows that I love food, and I'm always have been overweight. And with the last 40, 50 years at least. And now I got to fight that thing, you know. We can't let it go, because we have to, like I say, you and I, we have to set a standard. We have to set an example. We can't go out telling people what to do and then don't do it ourselves. Like Paul was saying, I have to control myself so I don't become a castaway. If I continue going down that path and not be in the fight, you got to be in the fight. And the fight that you and I have, and I have, is my weight. And that's the fight that we're in. And if you don't quit fighting, then eventually, if you just give in and give in, eventually you become a castaway. It's just that simple. That's why we have to set an example and a standard for everything we say and do.
Like this, everything is in the Word of God. If anybody wants a roadmap how to walk through this life, it's all written in the scripture. And there's nothing left out. Like, even if you want to please God, how do you please God? As you read His word and you find out what pleases Him, mm-hmm. and what is required of man. It's not going out and be a glutton. It's not pleasing to God. And how can the Spirit of God lead you if you are following down the glutton pathway? Then the Spirit cannot, you would really have double vision. Mm-hmm. Because your flesh will pull you this way and the Spirit that. And if you follow your flesh too much, then it will rear you off course. Because it's just how it works. It's like a balance. If the balance on one side is heavy, it will go down. If your flesh has control, then you're controlled by your flesh. If you don't let your flesh control, then the Spirit has dominion.
The Lord has done a lot for me ever since He put me on this journey back in the day when I was terminated. Before I did that, the first thing He did, He got rid of that alcohol. I used to drink alcohol around 5 o'clock. You know, the happy hour thing, the autorite thing, the roller coaster thing. That was one of the first things He did. I just had no desire for alcohol. Once He took that away, and then He started cleaning up my weight. And it had been a battle for 30, 40 years with my weight. Then, like I said the other day, He put me on a fast for 3 years in a row for 40 days. And I lost 100 pounds. I was down to 157. And then it's one thing to lose it and then to maintain it. That's then a daily battle. And then all that weight that you lose, you gotta win it back again. That's the journey mm-hmm. He's got me on right now. So He doesn't become like Paul said, I become a castaway. If we don't put in the fight, we become a castaway because we're not in the fight. We just give up the fight. And the fight that you and I are in, it's not the neighbor. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. It's not the autorite that's the problem. It's me, myself, and I that's the problem. If I allow my appetite and my desires and my flesh, and if I don't mortify the deed of the flesh on a daily basis, then I'll be a castaway. Just mm-hmm. that simple. We can't just give us a... God's not going to give us a pad just because we're doing what we're doing here today. We got to be in the fight.
Mm-hmm. And that's why America is in a state that it is. Like, they had so many buffets, they would go out and pig out. And yeah. That's what makes people asleep and not spiritually awake. And that's a good sense why America is in a condition like it is in, because of people just don't care, and they eat, and they're not spiritually alert. And that's like if you go touring to countries in Europe, they will make fun of Americans because they will know automatically which tourists come from America because they're all overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that a shame to bring on your nation if you don't do anything to better that? How much more as a Christian, where you should be presenting something, you're presenting the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and here you're going around overweight, and that's really not acceptable.
That's the very thing that Pete Hexett, you're the Army now, you present yourself, and he's got some, he's getting rid of these fat people. He's getting mm-hmm. Put them on a program where you have to be slim now and you have to be in shape, and he gets them on an exercise program, and rightly so, because the mm-hmm. very thing that Jesus warned about the end time, He said, beware, be careful, be on the alert, that your hearts be not overcharged with eating and drinking. And that's the battle that we have here at this end time. Like I said, it took away that alcohol, the craving for alcohol that I had, and then He started cleaning me up, and now He's cleaning up my appetite, because we're taking very serious what Jesus said, beware that at any time your heart be overcharged with eating and drinking, and then the cares of this world, they come, and that day will come upon you unawares. You're completely oblivious to the day and hour that you're living in. If you allow yourself to be consumed with the, if you allow the natural body to take out the left field. And then mm-hmm. exactly what the Bible says, that D will come upon you anywhere. It'll come like a lasso, like a lasso over a piece of over a cow. That's exactly what's going to happen for people that are glutton and people that are not doing what they need to do. We got to be alert. You got to be sober. You got to be vigilant. And we're not just saying it. We're practicing it in our own life. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, he goes around like a roaring lion. He loves it when people go to these smorgasbords and pig out and do things, because he knows what he's doing. He's lulling them to sleep with that food thing, with that appetite, and with that alcohol, and then that day will come upon them unaware, and they won't even be know what's going on, what's happening. That's why you and I, we have to, like I say, we have to set an example. We have to set a standard. It's not easy. Leave you be, especially when you get up and age. When I was younger, I could just, at a heartbeat, just drop five days, go on a fast for 3, 4, or 5 days, or even a week. But the last 10, 15 years, the Lord put me on a fast for 40 days. I always wanted to go on a fast for 40 days, but I couldn't. I just made maybe 20 days sometimes, and that was the limit. But it's serious stuff, you know, that the body, when it's overweight, the devil has a way of mm-hmm. lulling you to sleep and mm-hmm. dulling your senses that you're not even aware of whether you're coming or going.
Yeah, the devil likes those senses because he can infiltrate those senses. Like if you're on a fast, you go down the street and you smell all the food, you know, it's really enhanced the senses. If you're eating, they're not as enhanced. See, that's a sense that the devil likes to use and pull you in, you know, and make you cave and eat, you know. So you always have to be on guard against these things. And the devil likes to use your senses.
Like we were taking we went for a walk yesterday. We come to that pizza place, like when I'm not fasting, that pizza, I don't even notice it. But when you're fasting, oh, man, that pizza place ever send out an odor and a aroma, you know, that you almost feel like stopping it and getting a pizza. Mm-hmm. But you got to make up your mind. You're not stopping for nothing. You're on a fast, and that's that simple. It's not that we're special or anything or above anybody else. It's just a battle that you and I are in. And that's why we decided we're going to fast now for however mm-hmm. it takes to get our weight down, at least so that we can be presentable, our body a living sacrifice. And like I say, it's a battle. It's not easy, especially when you get up in age. You know, it's a lot easier when you're younger because you have a lot more self-control and a lot more, it's a lot easier, like mm-hmm. I say.
And that's why there is a heaven and a hell for people who are disobedient to God and His ways. There is a place called hell for that. If people walk in the ways of God and do things that are to honor Him and glorify Him, there is a place that God has, and that's heaven. So that's just two places where people end up in, and it's in the Bible. Even if people believe it or not, it is scriptural, and it's going to happen.
Just because my uncle didn't believe in a hell. I think he believed in a hell towards the end, because, like I say, his daughter, she said, "Daddy, tell me there's no hell. There is a hell." But his wife, she never did believe in a hell. I believe he did, but I don't think she did. Right to the very end, she did believe in a hell. He figured you just get burned up and that's the end of you. But I guess here she died a few years back, and she had herself, that they burned themselves up. Mm-hmm. What do we call it? Cremate themselves?
Yes.
Think mm-hmm. that now that's the end of it. Right. But the DNA is still there. But God will bring it back on the day of judgment.
You still have to realize you have a spirit.
Yeah.
And that spirit doesn't get burned up. It has to go somewhere to be purified, that spirit. If there is no godly attributes cultivated in that mm-hmm. life, that spirit has to be purified, and it has to go somewhere to be purified, and that's the hell and lake of fire where it does that mm-hmm. and then it will go back to God, because everything you see in creation has a spirit. The animals have a spirit, but the spirit will go directly back to God when they pass away. But if a man passes away, he has a soul. Now, the soul and the spirit, they have to be go to a place, either to heaven, or if it goes to hell or the lake of fire, and therefore there it is purified. The soul just gets destroyed, and the body and the spirit, once all that has been cleansed, it will go back to God.
See, right now, if a person dies, I don't care. Like, let's say we're talking about today, how to write, and they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. They, when they die, their soul and their spirit, they go to a place called hell, a torment. That's where they're going, because they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Just because they live in a deception commune and think that they're going to heaven because they live in a commune, it's pure deception, because they're led by their leader. They're deceived. They're the blind, leading the blind. But right now, when somebody dies and he doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ, he hasn't surrendered his life to the Lord, then that soul and that soul and that spirit, they go directly to hell, and then the body, it goes in the ground. And it stays in the ground till after the millennium, and after the millennium, the Lord comes, the God comes, and he resurrects all these people that are in the ground, whether they're drowned in the ocean, wherever, their DNA. If God can do that, it's all set up, and then at the end of the millennium, when that great white throne judgment comes, he resurrects all these wicked people that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And then once that great white throne, like we said earlier, they get thrown in that lake of fire, and there they've been destroyed. Like I say, maybe some 100 years, maybe some 1,000 years, maybe some for a long time. But eventually, the whole universe, the entire universe, the entire galaxy that we're living in, everything is purified, and there's no more sign of no wickedness, no devil, no nothing, because even Satan's spirit is purified, and then that spirit, it goes back, exactly like it says over in the Bible, that spirit goes back to God who gave it. It's just that simple. See, you and I, we have the whole counsel of God. We could tell people exactly what happened. We could tell people that hell is not eternal. Hell is a space of time. However, that God, on that great white throne judgment day, he has allotted that punishment that's so severe and so intense. And then the other person, it's not that severe because he was not that wicked. And then here's another one that that rejected the Lord. All that stuff is all going to be meted out on the great white throne judgment. And right now, the only way of escape from that is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord comes knocking at your door, he that hath the Son has eternal life, and he that does not have the Son has not life. It's just that simple. But he comes into judgment. Judgment is hell. It's just that simple. I don't know how simply you put it, but there is no eternal hell. The only thing that's eternal is eternal life. Hell is forever. However, in the eyes of God, it's as long as God had meted out that punishment. Like the Bible says, Jesus Christ will be a high priest forever. Well, how long is forever? It's until it has served its purpose. Just that simple. And then it says, Jesus Christ will be a king forever. Well, he's going to only be King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000 years, and then he hands that kingdom back to God until it has served its purpose. It'll take 1,000 years for Jesus Christ to be King of Kings, and then it has served its purpose. And that's exactly what hell is. Hell is forever until it has served the purpose. Satan will be in hell forever until it is complete annihilated, until hell has served its purpose. Just that simple. I don't know how simply you can put it. Just for you and I, it's so simple to understand because we're walking in the light.
That's right.
You want to pray?
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we know this is like a serious topic, like hell. We know it's real, Lord, but you've provided a way. You've provided your only Son, Jesus Christ, and whosoever shall believe him shall be saved, Lord, and we know you've provided a way out of that place of judgment, that there is at the end of the age. So we just pray, Lord, that you will help people to come to the realization that they need Jesus. That's the only way that they can enter into heaven. It's not some religious or some religious organization, but it's only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray for people. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.